The year was 734 BC. Ahaz, king of Judah in Jerusalem, was about to be attacked by an alliance of the northern kingdom of Israel and a neighboring country called Aram. He was frightened by the prospect of the possible end of his reign and by the invading armies that killed many people or took them as captive. But as Isaiah predicted, the kingdom of Judah did not come to an end at this time. The sign of Emmanuel would be a sign of deliverance. So how many of you were around in 734 BC? That was 700 plus years before Jesus got here. Almost 2,000 years now since Jesus has been here. So many, many years ago, our very first thing we want to look at this morning is the idea that God is with us even in the past. It's a great passage of Scripture that we see out of Isaiah chapter 7. This shall be a sign to you that a virgin shall have a son, and you shall name that son Emmanuel, which means God with us. But before we can bring that prophecy to us today, I want you to make sure that it is also a part of Ahaz's life some 2,700 years ago. Ahaz was the ruler at that particular time. He was the ruler of the southern kingdom of Israel. And so Isaiah the prophet shows up in his life. And Isaiah gives a word to this king. And in fact, in those passages of Scripture out of Isaiah chapter 7, the question is posed to the king, "King, don't you wish you had a sign from the Lord? Would you like a sign? It can be as small or as big as you want it to be. You name it, and God will give it to you." And so Ahaz says something that seems very good. He says, "Oh, Lord God, I don't want to put you to the test, so I'm not going to ask for a sign." When actually, it probably was a cop-out on his part. He really didn't want to know the answer to the question, what is going to happen to my kingdom or my rule? What is going to happen to the people that I'm supposed to be serving in that capacity? Because the answer that the Lord gave them was one of both assurance and warning. This idea that a young woman who is definitely ready to be married, never having been in that category before, she was in fact to have a child. His name would be God with us, Emmanuel. But it was a picture that even in the midst of what's going to happen next, God's hand would not ultimately be removed from them. And the next passages go on to say it's not going to be a happy time for everybody concerned. There will be issues, not maybe so much from the kingdom of the north, but even the Assyrians were knocking at their door, and in fact they came in just a few years later and took over the entire country. But they did not totally destroy God's remnant, His people. And so there is this message, even from the past, that says, God remains with us even when you walk through not only difficult times, but disastrous times. Ahaz did not have a good track record. He, in fact, was one of Judah's worst kings. He refused God's help. Instead, he continued to try to buy aid from the Assyrians with silver and gold from the temple. And ultimately, when the Assyrians came, they brought further trouble instead of help. Samaria, the capital of Israel, the northern kingdom, fell to the Assyrian armies, thus ending the northern kingdom's reign. And it's in the midst of life, it's in the midst of this particular time period, that even as things did not look good for God's people, there was still a message to say, God will continue to be with us. Emmanuel, God is present. He is also present. God is with us certainly in the past, even as we were able to take not only this prophecy, but many others. Matthew quoted this prophecy. He says, remember what was said in Isaiah? Here it is some 700 years later, and we see the fulfillment of this particular scripture as well. But then also we see God is with us in the present. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me, we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4 this morning. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul gives us a great picture of what it is when the Lord is near to us. What does it look like with God in our lives at any particular moment? He gives these words to the original Philippians, and I would hope it still speaks to our Philippians today as well. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul gives us a great reminder of what it looks like for the Lord to be with us in the present, when He is near to us. There are many times when we pick up the banner of worry, that we're concerned about whatever it is that we're walking through or whatever our family is walking through. But Paul gives us some very critical suggestions on what we do with our worry. Because if we leave our worry to ourselves, it comes out in unhealthy ways. We turn back to habits that do not bring us health. We internalize it, and then physically worry comes out in so many other ways. And so Paul says, this is what we need to do with worry. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that just seems to be so much easier said than done. When we're in the midst of some struggle in life, when we're up against some hardship, and you say, well, you don't understand it. If I don't worry, who's going to? But it says, take that worry and place it into the hands of the one who not only spoke the world into existence, but still cares for us today. Wesley, what a great testimony of what it is that we do with our prayers. As we're concerned about our loved ones and where they might be ending up in life, and to celebrate how God continues to work day by day, hour by hour, situation by situation. And then Paul's promise is in verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We get this assurance of what God means when He is with us. How does Emmanuel work out in our world today? We get to have God's peace. A peace that goes beyond what we can really explain. especially when we can't put all the pieces together or we're not sure how the ending might look. Paul says, rely and rest in God's peace. And then he gives us some very practical things to do in verse 8. He says, instead of taking your time and worrying about what might be, here are the things you need to invest in your life. These are the things that need to occupy your present circumstance. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Caleb had on a shirt just the other day, and it had two simple little words on the very front. Was it a state youth theme at some point in time? So Camp Cowan had this theme for their summer programming. Every camp that came in there, every opportunity for each of those campers or the counselors that worked, they were given the privilege of paying the low price of $9.95. I don't know how much the t-shirt was. And you too could come home with this great slogan. It was two little words, though, and I'm sure, do you know the scripture it was based on? It might even be this one. Was it 4:13? Yeah. Okay, so in the very front it says, do something. That's all it says, isn't it, on the front of the shirt? Do something. I often have that phrase in our household. I said, well, I'm going to go do something, even if it's wrong. I'm going to do something, because the opposite of that does not bring us forward. And that's where Paul is saying, here's those things we need to be doing. How does God look in the present time? What does it mean for Him to be with us? We allow Him to be with us when we, in fact, are a part of truth, a part of honor, a part of justice, a part of purity, a part of pleasing, a part of giving someone else praise, commending other people, and offering excellence in all that we do. Do something. It's a great slogan. It's what Emmanuel continues to mean in our lives today. Keep on doing the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. As people of faith, we really suffer from amnesia from time to time. As a people of faith, we're short-minded when it comes to remembering all that God has done. Eddie gave a great message for us of his New England trip, and he just reminded us. Margaret spoke into our lives, and she reminded us of how well it is that we serve this God who not only loves us, but cares for us, wants the very best for us, and to see how He continues to provide. That is how God is with us in the present. He certainly is with us in the past. He is with us in the present. But He also is Emmanuel because He is with us in the future. Just a few chapters later, over in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah had married a young lady, and the Lord asked him to name his first son. Some scholars believe that the first wife had passed away and was able then to find another lady to be his partner in life. And they also had a son. But it was in the midst not only of Isaiah's own life, but as he was looking forward down through the pages of time, that we see these words out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. What does it look like for God to be with us in the future? He says, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onwards and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." It is a picture that God being with us is not just what happened in the past, not just what is happening now, but will be what in fact happens onwards and forevermore. God's rule will bring about endless peace. Have we found endless peace in this world yet? You pick up the paper, there are still wars going on between countries. Syria is being devastated even as we speak, among so many others. There continues to be unrest in the Middle East on every hand. Down at the Code Blue Center, I didn't realize we got magazine subscriptions. And so I was down there Friday night, and National Geographic was one of those magazines that we get down there. Among the 247-foot California redwood that it was telling about, they were also talking about the Gaza Strip and how there are tunnels that are underneath that particular area of land just so life can somehow try to be still in some semblance of normal as they try to get goods from one end to the other in a war-torn, ravaged area. Some of those pictures were how people had to live literally in caves, buried beneath the ground just to try to survive. There's not much of a picture of peace if you look over the landscape of this world. But the picture we have, the hope that we can hold on to, is this Prince of Peace, this Mighty God, this Wonderful Counselor, has in fact been born to us. He continues to be with us. And that in His time and in His manner, all things will come for His kingdom. And we need to be a part of that dispensing of peace. That we keep doing the things we have learned and received and heard and seen, so that God with us in the future will in fact look like that. That He will establish and uphold justice with righteousness forevermore. The God that we serve wants nothing more but to see His children be restored to Him. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a story of restoration. It's an opportunity for us to see what He originally created for us will in fact one day be reinstated. May it be so that we not only rest in the fact that God is with us, but we share that good news with those we come in contact with. Judy was telling me this morning of a case where a little girl over there in her daughter's classroom, they were going through a reading word, one of the words they were trying to learn by sight, and it was P-R-A-Y-E-R. And the girl couldn't quite sound it out, and so Judy covered up the E-R on the end and said, "Well, just how about that? How about P-R-A-Y? What do we got there?" And so she worked on it, pray. So she got that and said, "Now, you know what happens when you put E-R And so the girl said, prayer. The word is prayer. She said, that's right. And the little girl turned to her and said, what's prayer? This is in Barber County, in our elementary schools. She had no concept of what that word is or what it means. So we have a great opportunity, as God is with us, to continue to share His good news with others. To let folks know that prayer is our communication with this God who loved us so much that He sent His Son. Judy said, now, I might have gotten in big trouble because I told her what prayer was. But now, Judy, she asked. So you know, that's what I always understood. If the student asked, you can speak. But you can initiate. May it be so with us that we always find ourselves initiating God's peace, God's love, doing something for His kingdom and for it to come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are so thankful that Your Son was named Emmanuel, that He was with us in the past, in the present, in the future to come. God of time, space, and all creation, we confess that we have put our own expectations, desires, and demands upon the Scripture, upon others, and upon You. We've made You into our image. We've turned Your Scripture to say what we want it to say. We've picked over and chosen bits of tradition and history to claim as truth while ignoring the rest. Call us to repent. Call us to seek forgiveness. Call us to seek Your guidance on this journey of faith, to let go of our need for power and control. In the name of the God who came as vulnerable as any of us come into this world, we pray. Amen.